You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Pull the lever and watch it all go down.
Oh yeah, welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet Bowl Radio Show. I am Joe Thrash and Kill. With me today I've got the good and golden boy, the internet sweetheart. I'm talking, of course, about 365 Days of Horror, or as we call him, Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
Hello.
Hey, we also got that there Brenna side. Breno, how you doing?
Better than y'all. Yeah, no, I'm fine. How are you guys?
I was up until midnight last night taking science tests, and then I drank 1.5 million beers, so I am in the zone to podcast, fellas.
So you're finishing off that 1.5 beer now, right?
Exactly. A little hair of the dog, brother.
Hair of the dog is really just more alcohol in your liver. I want everyone to know that doesn't work.
I've tried it once in my life, and I was like, oh, no, this is just poison.
Yeah, I tell you what, everybody, I'm just going to start telling people that hair of the dog is water, and then things will go better for everybody involved.
It is water and vitamins.
Water, maybe some food that's not greasy. I'm pretty worn out myself. I worked 52 hours this week. It's 12 hours of overtime, and I don't know why I do that, because that's a future paycheck. I don't get money right then and there. I suffer 1 week, so I get something the next. And that's just, like, I don't even know that guy. Next week, Breno, who is he? He might not even be here. I don't know why I do those things for him.
Yeah, next week's Breno, he, you know, smokes cigarettes and cuts classes. Like, he's a bad boy.
Yeah. What an asshole. He gets to not work overtime and get a bigger paycheck. It's fuck him. What a, you know, I know for a fact, scientifically, you consider your future and your past self as, like, completely different people. Like, the signals in your brain light off like you're thinking of a stranger or something. So, well, I don't know. Yeah, I must be a chump for working overtime.
You got to consider that roughly every 7 years, every single cell in your body has been replaced. So you might as well be, like, an entirely different person by that point.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. I don't relate to anything I liked or listened to 7 years ago.
7 years ago, I think I was pretty cool. I'm not cool anymore, so I kind of miss those old cells that are dead now. But, you know, we'll see what we can do with this one. I'm still a bundle of potential, right? We have a number of things on this podcast for you. And I'm kind of like, I'm not even sure where to start here, because there's a lot. But I guess the most pressing for me, as a person that is in tune with the world and with the news cycle, is what exactly was Prince Philip?
I think it was an alternate name for DMX.
It was the piercing you get in your penis, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was the tobacco that came in a can.
No, it's definitely both those things.
I've seen that this horrible ancient man died, and as an American who does not respect any kind of monarchy, I missed out entirely. I thought he was the pedophile that was on TV a lot, saying that, like, he couldn't sweat anymore, so he couldn't be a pedophile or some shit. Like, apparently that was a different one.
It's a different royal pedophile. You got to get him right. Open up your chart and your binder, and you'll see on page 3, that's Prince Philip.
Yeah, unroll your ledger.
So who was this one, then?
The queen's husband.
But he wasn't the king, then?
No, he was not. He married into the family.
But, like, what do you have to do to be the king? Don't you have to, like, marry the queen, or is it you have to pull a fucking sword out of a stone or some shit?
Yeah. I think you need your royal incest blood to be flowing through your veins in order to wear the crown.
But wasn't he also related to the queen?
And they're all kind of related.
Then why the fuck wasn't he the king?
The royal family is a lot like the Rock's family, and how all Samoans are related and they're all great at professional wrestling. It's like that, but the royal family's pale and skinny and weak, and they all look kind of funny.
So they're related and they're married and they're fucking? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, they were before he fucking died at the age of 1,010.
He was 99, and there's people like, yes, he finally died. It's like, he lived till he was 99 and had all his troubles taken care of and had people wait on him hand and foot for his entire life. It's not the major win that you think it is.
No, it's very unfortunate when a bad person dies old. I know a lot of people are like, God, I can't wait till Kissinger dies. It's like, well, I mean, he's already done all the damage he's ever going to do. I did
find out that Prince Philip was driving until he was 97.
Good Lord. I guess all the pictures I ever saw of him were in the back of a Bentley while he
propped
was just
up.
Dying.
Now he's in the back of a Bentley again, but in the way back.
Again, I don't fully understand all of this, but I know that, you know, all of our listeners in the UK are certainly pretty shaken up about it. So, I don't know, maybe we should play a little Elton John for something or something for them, you know?
I think Elton John should play a little Elton John. He should just undust that old peach again and change the lyrics for some relevant bullshit.
I'm just picturing Elton John dressing up like Daffy Duck like he did in the 80s, playing a sad song at his funeral.
It seems to me you lived your life like a candle, totally safe.
And you were out there nonsense all your life.
Baby and the Jets. With someone hired to wipe your ass.
I like that we don't know anything about the royal family or Elton John. It's pretty good.
This must be what it's like for non-Americans to have to sit through all our interminable political news that bleeds out into like their local news. Like, it must suck to have to know who Mitch McConnell is when you're from like Romania.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there is no reason that anybody from outside of, you know, Florida should know who Matt Gaetz is unless he has personally victimized you.
Unless you have given him money through Venmo.
Oh, no.
And yet, because we are the superpower for now, everybody has to deal with our shit. And I guess it's kind of that way that we have to know at least what the name Prince Philip is, because the dying old empire has impressed that upon everybody. This is important for some reason.
Are we the superpower, or do we just think we're the superpower?
It's waning.
Yeah. We're in charge for now, but that window is closing.
We're still technically in Pax Americana, as it's known as, but it's probably going to be Pax China within our lifetime.
Yeah, and good for them. They've been scrappy underdogs this entire time, and I think it's time to give another empire a chance.
To implode.
Here's hoping maybe they'll make better decisions.
Yeah, China, capitalism, it's great. Give it a shot.
Yeah, it's working out well for Tibet.
It's true.
So, I don't know anything about Tibet, and it's been this long.
Because of China.
I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah, just make it free. I saw that on a bumper sticker once. That's my knowledge as an American, the things that are on the back of people's cars. Guys, I was sent something earlier this week that I was very surprised to receive, and I'm sure many of our listeners will be surprised to hear that we received. Do we want to get into this a bit? It was another cameo about our 300th episode. Obviously, too late, too little too late. We didn't get it for the show, but not only did we not get it, we famously not got it. This was a cameo that we received, what was it, like Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, and it's from a gentleman we all know and love. Can someone else introduce this to me, please, before I walk out of the room?
Well, I woke up early that day, and the first thing I saw was a notification on my phone from Giordo over here saying that, hey, I got you this. And I did what Jordan didn't do and watched it. No.
I give the gift. I don't have to see you unwrap it.
So what we have here is a very unexpected message from one Jose Mangan. Longtime fans of the show will be familiar with the name. Jose Mangan himself is familiar with with the Toilet of Hell, as his message here kind of gets at a little bit. This is number one. It's 7 minutes long. Okay. And I did not make it all the way through. And I don't think that you, the listener, would make it all the way through. So what I'm going to suggest here, if you guys are open to it, is that we get just enough to get a full body cringe going, and then we'll play the full thing on this month's Patreon bonus episode. How about that?
That sounds good. I think I'm going to play moderator here. The moment that my cringe becomes too much, we're going to stop the video. And yeah, I think we're going to play it in its entirety. Like we're not going to listen to it altogether. I'm just going to put that fucking file to play on its own somewhere very safe, far away from me at the end or beginning of a track somewhere during a bonus episode. So you guys can hear the whole thing. Just unedited, unabashed, no commentary, just all of its glory as it was intended to be heard.
And I don't know that I want to set it up any more than that. So what do you say? Do you want to crack open this tin of toxic waste?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. So this is Jose Metal Ambassador Mangan. And before I start the clip, I want you guys to know he sent it late, so we didn't have to pay for it. We did not have to pay.
I was going to say we got our money's worth of 7 minutes, but technically, because it was late, Cameo refunded my money, and then when he sent it in a few days after the due date, it's like, this is on us. We're not charging you. So we really are getting our money's worth, which is zero.
Yeah. Do we think that Jose gets any kickback from that? Does he get a scoldy scold from Cameo? Does he not get his money? I wonder. Maybe he can send me a 9-minute video explaining it to me.
Maybe he was worried about his star ratings and just wanted to crank out 7 minutes, just absolutely destroying us. This is a passion project for him.
All right, boys, we're all in this together. Let's hold hands. I want everyone who's listening to this to just raise your hands in the sky, okay? Just lend me your energy so that I can just set us up for a spirit bomb of cringe. We're getting into this, okay? Here we go.
Hell yeah. What's up, brothers? Joe, Jordan, and Brendan. Congratulations on your 300th episode of Toilet of Hell podcast. I know over the years, I think I've been very fortunate enough to be a sort of a subject of poking from your podcast, dude, but I definitely appreciate what you guys are doing, and that's waving the flag for freaking heavy music, and I know you guys support a lot of the same shit that I love and a lot of the same stuff that the listeners of Liquid Metal are big fans of, so you guys are doing your part, and you guys have always done a really cool job, man, so thank you for doing that. Congratulations, 300 episodes is a lot of anything, man, so fuck yeah, man. I mean, keep it going. You know how it is, man, when we support this music, heavy metal, it's not about, you know, accolades or any of that stuff. It's always been just about the passion of supporting this music that I know the four of us love very much, and I'm glad that we do, man. We're, you know, we're on the same side as we freaking, you know, do what we're doing.
No, we're not. We're not on the same side. Don't ever tell me.
I wish I had started drinking this morning. That would make this a lot easier.
I mean, that was very nice. Thank you, Jose. It was very kind of you to say.
All joking aside, you didn't have to do this. And, you know, thank you for being a good sport. And perhaps this is the time where we retire making some jokes about him.
I will say he was very gracious in doing this thing. And for that reason, I will pause.
Embargoed.
We will take a mandatory break. There will be a truce, a silent truce for any given number of years, months, days, weeks, hours. There will be no Jose Mangan content until further notice, so...
As a show of good faith, yeah. We will also introduce a mandatory Metallica.
All right. What the hell do we support that goes on Liquid Metal at all? Like, what stuff do we even talk about that goes on Liquid Metal? Look at the stuff behind him. Shinedown, Volbeat, Ice Nine Kills. Do we ever get into this stuff?
We have talked quite a bit about Graveyard Classics. They do like to play some Graveyard Classics on Liquid Metal.
Oh, shit. What is that? Is that the Coven of Covers or something?
Yeah. They Chris Barnes is a regular on that.
Oh, sweet. I hope they actually bring him on the show to talk to him. That'll be
just his shitty cover songs.
All right, guys, I'm gonna I think that's enough. You guys get the gist, right? Do we need to hear more of this?
I will go ahead and say that this continues on for an additional 6.5 minutes. So you know, we'll have some fun with that on the bonus episode. You know, the bonus episode, there are no rules. It is international waters. We can do and say whatever we like. But for now, we will say thank you for the call, and keep on rocking, brother.
just keep doing what you're doing and support heavy music. Thank you.
So I do have some respect for actually following through with it. You could have easily just done nothing and that would have been acceptable. So there is some sort of bravery within actually going through with this. You know, I'm sure if we were on Cameo and Death Metal Underground sent us one, it would have been a far more interesting thing we would have produced if we would have done it at all.
I would have done it for sure.
But you would have done it Jim Carrey and Ace Ventura style, just literally talking out of your ass the whole time.
Yeah, I can't say I would have done it with the same amount of grace, I suppose, or swallowing my pride to do it. I would have doubled down.
I appreciate the professionalism.
And that's what separates the pros from us.
That's why he gets paid and we do not.
Yeah,
that is true. That is true. But we're having fun.
We're having fun. Not good people. Let's talk about some other. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, if we're not good people, at least we haven't been canceled out of existence on Twitter.
I will say that, you know, so far on this episode, we are very much playing some inside baseball. So let's just keep that train going. We might as well before we get to any kind of music talk. Twitter, it's a site that lots of people like to log into. Bruno, you recently decided that you were done with that, right?
That's up in the air. I am not using it for the time being to see how it makes me feel not using it. So far, pretty fucking great. So that's not boding too well for Twitter.com. I'm on there right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to deprivatize my profile, and I'm going to suggest that everyone, you know, follow us on Twitter so that you can maybe get in the same circle and follow some of the same people that we're going to be talking about and who, you know, will just have opinions that you'll have to see in your daily life. So for
you non-Twitter users, I promise we will make this segment brief.
So I'm Breno Grounded because I did the Undergrounded podcast that I stopped doing. So I'm probably going to change that soon. Then there's Joe Thrash and Kill, of course. That's Joe Thrash, the letter N, Kill. And then you got 365 Days of Horror for Jordan. And they're all great. Those guys are great follows. I pretty much just use Twitter exclusively to, like, you know, laugh at their tweets. But yeah, it's been fun for what it's worth. It just hasn't been fun for a while for me, so I stopped using it. I don't really have anything to add. I don't want to say anything to people anymore. I feel like I'm just mediocre and annoying. So I mean, these are bad, negative, probably not true feelings, and the site sort of supports them, so I just want to fuck off for a while. So that's what I'm doing. But yeah, I think quote unquote metal Twitter, which we're probably going to say a bunch during this show, good bunch of people, good bunch of folks. And yeah, I suggest people get into it and check some of that out. You might actually get some good music recs, so fuck it, that's always worth it, right?
So I feel like our user experiences on the site are wildly different, and that you seem to have people come at you all the time. And I've never had that. People are generally very nice to me online.
Over the years, I would start fights. Absolutely. Like I would kind of put up my dukes very easily. Now I'm just tired. I don't care. Metal music just does not inspire my angst and just not angst, but anger and rage like it used to, like in defense of metal music. You know, it's like I told you guys earlier in the week, us three, we're, you know, I mean, everybody else, I should say, that we see flip out about this stuff, they all have like passing, passionate, whirlwind romances with metal music. But us three, we're married to metal music. You know, when metal
we've been
music,
there.
We've been there. You know, and it's not like we don't love metal. It's just that now when metal music does something absolutely crazy, it's at the point where we kind of look up from our phone and go, oh, honey, that's great. Yeah. And then we go back to scrolling because it's safe and it's secure and we're all stable here. So
we're confident in our relationship with it.
Exactly. So when we see something threaten metal, it's just, you know, I don't feel threatened. I'm not scared. There's plenty of good left. There's plenty of good left.
Guys. You're not like, mad about Lil Nas X stealing the Satanic Thunder away from heavy metal bands of 40 years ago?
Oh, God, that, no.
You know, that was killing me, like seeing dudes older than me that were feeling really insecure about their favorite genre of music because a young gay pop star was, you know, having some fun with, you know, satanic imagery and sexuality. And for some reason, it felt like that was an affront to these guys.
Like, Wasp hasn't been relevant in 30 years. Get over it. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I that whole thing was kind of a bummer for me, and that all of the old metal heads that were like, I just wish those guys would ignore it or something, because all of the takes coming from them were just super bumming me out.
It's like they can't help themselves.
It's okay. There are, you know, Satan is one of the oldest concepts in like the Western canon. It's not exclusive to metal. Lots of other genres can use it as a device for making art. It's fun. Everybody likes the big red man. It's okay.
He makes delicious cinnamon flavored candy.
It's all right. So it's kind of fun. I'm glad that lots of younger people are having fun with all of that. It's not for me, and I recognize that because I'm old. And it's good that they have a thing, though. I like that they're having fun. And we can leave it at that.
It's bad. I don't want anyone to have fun. Everyone needs to relax. Fun is bad. That's where Satan really is in fun.
You need to defend Sweet Lady Metal on Twitter at all times.
So I guess the subject of our specific discussion here is one particular person who I don't even know if I want to mention them by name, but it was a former Metal Hammer writer, if not current Metal Hammer writer, who just went absolute ape shit over some politically correct back and forth that he saw on that given day. And he proceeded to call those people the quote unquote pronoun crowd, and then proceeded immediately to get the hardest, fastest, just rawest cancellation I've seen on the internet in a very long time.
I guess this fella is somebody that you've had multiple interactions with. They blocked you, Jordan.
Me? Of all people, America's sweetheart blocked me. And I don't think I ever had any direct interaction with this person either. So Jordan, go figure.
Jordan doesn't even tweet me back when I say things to him. Like, he just leaves everybody alone. He just kind of puts stuff out there on Twitter and he moves on about his day. Least confrontational person in the universe.
I so much do not want to be a reply guy that I just don't reply to anyone 99% of the time to avoid being that guy.
A reply guy doesn't mean that you reply to somebody.
No, I know. I understand that. But you could see people always popping up in even benign tweets because they just want to say something or be a part of something. And for me, it's just like, I'm good over here. If I actually need to talk to you guys, I have other methods other than hopping on your joke or comment very publicly. I could just say, Breno, what are you talking about? Stop it.
Well, I mean, being a reply guy, it's all about staying in that orbit, right? You got to stay in the orbit of the very, very pretty girl on the internet or the extremely cool metal guy on the internet so that maybe after seeing the 7,000th mandatory reply to everything you've ever said, that finally you will see what's been in front of you all along and fall madly in love with the individual who can't stop talking to you.
Yeah, so I gotta say, I haven't had any interactions with this fella, aside from screenshots that people have sent me of, like, look at this fucking asshole. So, like, this particular one that seemed to cause a bit of a storm is, like, there's a weird little niche of metal Twitter that just constantly posts about the most obscure no-name shit. Fair play for giving some Z-list band a bit of praise. Judging by the music, no one else will. But there's a right stench of lame elitism to it all. Yuck. Which, again, like, if you're theoretically a metal writer, and you're not, like, I don't know, Jose Mangan, you're probably talking about some Z-list shit that nobody gives a fuck about because, you know, it takes zero equipment or skill to put your music out in the world. And that's okay. That gives us a rich tapestry of things to look at and listen to and write about. So it's just kind of a weird little complaint. And it seemed like he just wanted to get mad about, I don't know, people that would consider themselves a part of this circle of metal Twitter as, you know, hazy and large as that might be. So lots of people were like, hey, this is stupid. You're an asshole or whatever.
And, it's weird to stick up for popular, well-known music and belittle, like, bands you've never heard of. It's just such a weird thing to complain about. It's like he was in the shower getting into a fight in his head with people that don't actually exist.
Yeah. And that's kind of a bit of contrarianism, right? From the general metal crowd, like getting mad at a band because they got too successful. You need to get into the underground, right?
Have you guys heard of Slayer?
Yeah, it's just I mean, this person has been kind of a fixture among this crowd for so many years. I mean, I've probably been back and forth on Twitter for maybe like 6-7 years at this point, maybe even 10, like just too fucking long. I've been on this site just meeting a lot of great people and talking to the same great people. And when we say metal Twitter, quote unquote, it's honest to God, like, I don't know, Iron Maiden has like 7 million followers, and we're probably talking about 412 people tops.
It's like the meme of the high school lunch tables, where do you sit at? It's kind of like that. There's the people who just talk about the Iron Maidens and Lamb of Gods, and there's people who want to talk about Blood Incantation and Tomb Mold all the time, and there's
you can call Twitter out and punk
Twitter. Sorry?
You can call Kit out by name.
Kit is at that lunch table all his own, right? Just no, no, no. That's us. We're the ladder, okay? We're the Blood Incantation table. That's us. So,
just yelling Blood Incantation while tater tots fall out of his mustache.
Right, and since our circle's always talking about them, when I say that Blood Incantation is an underground band out loud, everyone says, they're not underground. What do you say? Everybody knows Blood Incantation. Everyone knows Blood Incantation. Okay. All right. Okay, fella. So, yeah, like I said, this person in particular has been a fixture in that little society for a long time. Once totally in good faith, once got along with everybody, and then suddenly just took this really strange pivot. A lot of people I saw took that pivot, I think, when everybody called Mikwa out by name, that Polish group that wears masks and I guess got...
Oh, yeah, because they were working with that feller, what with the pedophilic themed noise project.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Also being the live band and Clandestine Blaze.
Yeah, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to pronounce that band's name any further, but they were making really good music around that time that a lot of people liked, and I saw a lot of people just start throwing around the word SJW and fucking the metal police and everything once everybody was like, you know, this band actually is pretty shitty and there's some reasons why maybe you want to go take your listening somewhere else. So I don't know if that was the exact moment, but there was a heel turn at some point. There just fucking totally was.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Some people have become the Joker with heavy metal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this fella that you guys got some beefs with, he got some pushback. He wrote, Twitter is a place for opinions, but you're not allowed to have one. It's hilarious. Twats just come out of the woodwork that don't even follow you, or you don't even follow them. Just say how upset they are over your opinion. Just move on with your life. It's grand. Which is, you know, kind of like an I'm not mad, you're mad, pretty standard type thing. But he decided, Yeah, he doubled down on a little bit, and he should not have done that.
Yeah, here is an extremely excellent example of you not taking your own advice. Like, here is you totally not moving on.
So here is what you don't want to do if you are a writer for multiple outlets that, you know, you have levers of control over you that might pull your card. Don't say something like, "So many sad acts. I see stuff I don't agree with daily and I just skim by. But the pronoun crowd, and it's always the pronoun crowd, have to lash out for some reason." Which I don't know what you get when you hear the pronoun crowd in your head, but I'm certainly, it's a little bit transphobic in my opinion.
Only talking about people who are trans. Like, that's just what it is.
Well, I mean, pretty much every trans musician that I follow on Twitter immediately saw that and was like, "You are a huge bitch."
they're just doing Michael Jordan 360 style dunks on him.
Everyone just collectively together just shared the rock clip. "Shut up, bitch."
Yes. Classic. And I started seeing some industry people talking about this as well, that it might have been a little bit unacceptable, maybe throwing around some terms. So pretty soon it's that profile does not exist pretty quickly.
Well, it was profile locked, and then it was profile does not exist.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of fun, seeing somebody that, you know, makes a little bit of money on the side, farms a little clout on the side by writing for major outlets, being on distribution lists for preview records, such and such, affiliated with so many PR firms. Then having those people immediately say that you're an asshole, I'm never going to send you anything ever again.
The Twitter handle became available. I tried to, you know, jump on it so that I could tweet at least 9 or 10 different things about how I shit my pants and fart all the time. But unfortunately, I'm not able to. So this could just be a deactivated situation where reactivation is coming. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, like Jason in the Friday the 13th movies, you can never really kill him.
No, and instead, I think that what you're going to see here is what do you do to a double down? You triple down, right? Like, just working for the Washington Examiner next, talking about how I was an apolitical metalhead, and now I see that the SJWs must be stamped out of existence or whatever.
Just become a staff writer for the Gutfield conservative comedy show that's now on Fox.
Yeah, I think Gutfield got Bell's palsy or something recently because he's telling all of these jokes like out of one side of his mouth. It's very disconcerting. Anyway, that guy's awful. Let's move on. We've talked way too much about this horse shit, right?
Oh yeah, I'll be cutting some things back because yeah, let's move on. So. Another hilarious piece of news I found this week is that he quit pretty recently, Fear Factory vocalist Burton Seabell, he claimed that the very, very popular album back in the day when we were kind of coming up as kids, throwing rocks, spraying paint on walls, all that good shit. He says that Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory is really just demanufacture, but for kids.
Huh. I listened to them. Well, I listened to Demanufacture a lot more when I was a kid than I did Linkin Park, but Linkin Park was kind of ubiquitous among our age group. I don't think I hear it. Do you?
No. I mean, Demanufacture isn't really something, is not like an album that I go out of my way to get down with. It's not my favorite. And I mean, judging by the people I knew who listened to it, Demanufacture was Demanufacture for kids. So
accurate.
It's just accurate. I don't know what the fuck he wants from that. It was made in 1995 during that time period where everybody was wearing clothes they shouldn't have been and making music that was a little different from the usual on everybody's part. So in terms of what he was actually saying, Somebody had asked him, well, he said something about D-Manufacture. He said, D-Manufacture defined my career. D-Manufacture was the album that made Fear Factory, Fear Factory. It was our defining moment. It gave us a sound, and it almost created a new genre. I think many people tried to copy it, but never succeeded. That's a loaded statement.
Indeed, especially to pose that to Linkin Park. I don't think there's any comparison to be made there, other than one was much more successful after the other.
Extremely. And so he was asked, like the guy who was interviewing asked him, so who tried to copy D-Manufacture? And he immediately responded, well, you know, Linkin Park did a watered down version of D-Manufacture. He wasn't a fan of Linkin Park's debut album, Hybrid Theory. He added, I respect what they did, but to me, it sounded like D-Manufacture for kids.
Jordan, what's your take on this?
So I am not going to agree and I'm not going to defend, but I'm just trying to put my mind into Burton C. Bell's, which probably isn't a good idea. But if I had to try to explain his thought process, I would think it would be more of the like use of electronics and sort of Fear Factory is obviously more industrial sounding, but I guess Hybrid Theory kind of maybe had some of the lightest versions of that. And it was both are kind of mushed into new metal, more mainstream metal. I mean, maybe in just the lightest sense, I can kind of see what he's talking about.
I guess the thing that throws a wrench into the works for me is that, you know, Linkin Park, pretty well known for, you know, having vocals right up in the mix, two different guys doing it. And I'm struggling to think of a vocalist in metal that's more on the struggle bus than Burton C. Bell.
And the use of studio tricks for the extra clean vocal soundings. I mean, I'm just looking through like the Wikipedia of D-Manufacture now, and it was like highly, highly rated by a bunch of publications and websites. So I, you know, it's considered their most popular album. Hybrid Theory would probably be considered, I don't know about in terms of sales, but probably the most beloved Linkin Park album by the widest audience. It's somewhere a mixture of alt metal, a little bit of industrial, a little bit of this and that, and I don't know. Hybrid Theory does not sound like Fear Factory. It just doesn't.
But it doesn't sound like an attempt. It's like completely different.
If you just want to say they're distant eighth generation cousins, I guess you can kind of go, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, does Linkin Park also sound like Bile at that point? Or My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult or any of those other bands from the mid-90s who kind of threw in industrial and dance stuff and this and that? Like, I guess, I don't know. Not really, but fine.
I mean, D-Manufacture, if you look at the timeline, yeah, it came out before Hybrid Theory, but so did like other heavy music examples that had some electronic elements. I mean, Nine Inch Nails was doing stuff before. I mean, Ministry, for God's sake. So I don't know. I don't know where he's getting this from. But I always wonder about these kind of takes. Like, do people really think that artists just are listening to the radio in a van somewhere, they hear a band and they go, yeah, let's do that instead? I mean, obviously Pantera, but aside from them, it very rarely happens. Usually if you're in a band, these things are just parallel thinking, even if there is some evidence of stuff being a little copy here, copy there. But especially back then, I mean, we're talking late 90s, mid 90s, like there wasn't the internet. You couldn't pull up Spotify and listen to everything. So I don't know. D-Manufacture was not as available to everybody as it certainly is now.
I don't know. It strikes me more of a, hey, you guys remember D-Manufacture? That was a pretty good record.
Oh yeah. yeah.
I was kind of seeing it as how we jokingly say, what are you going to listen to? Justin Bieber? But this is, what are you going to listen to? hybrid theory. You could listen to D-Manufacturing and get the real stuff.
I think that's the most accurate read on this situation, yeah. Well, Burton C. Bell, you know, retired from Fear Factory for now, but he'll be back.
Not the first time, not the last time.
They always come back. They always come back.
So this next news story isn't quite as fun, but it's really just out of nowhere. So in specifics, it was all over the place because metal news is pretty paltry without live shows, but these guys can't seem to stop getting up to shit anyway. So this was a former Sabaton guitarist, and he was put in jail because he was convicted of not only possessing child pornography, but of direct child sex abuse.
Formerly of Sabaton, he was in Sabaton like 10 years ago, and he does Civil War. Well, he was doing Civil War before he got locked up. And this story is fucking horrific, and I don't really want to get into it too much because it is fully fucking horrific. But it's pretty big news, I reckon. Rickard Sundin, is that what it is?
That's close enough. Good enough.
Sundin.
Rickard.
Rickard, yeah, we'll go with that.
Pardon me. Yeah, I guess specifically he had assaulted a girl, like an 8-year-old girl, while she was sleeping over with one of his daughters.
Yeah, in this fella's defense, he tried to claim that it wasn't him that did it. It was actually his own daughter that did it, his own like 8-year-old daughter, which I think is one of the more horrific things that I've ever heard.
Oh, it wasn't me. It was her. How could that possibly be confused? Like, how the fuck?
Well, when you're that evil, you just go an extra evil step.
I guess so. I don't know. This does serve to highlight another example of like power metal. Again, just even though the music is silly, you know, you're doing major key flying on the wings of a dragon's into battle or whatever, just as filled with scumbags as every other genre of metal.
Expect to see some power metal on Warp Tour when it finally comes back.
Jesus Christ.
Got him.
Because you can't forget the guy that was what in Manowar. Similar, well, less horrific, but similar deal.
They're certainly not helping Rickard's case here is that at the time of his arrest, Swedish police confiscated 2 computers and a mobile phone belonging to Sundin and found 6 films of underage children committing sexual acts.
It seems, like a full-on creep, full-on psycho, no good. Very bad, I would say.
Yeah, good luck.
And for all this, he was sentenced to 9 months in prison and fined the U.S. equivalent of
$6,000. $6,000? Like, yep. That doesn't even cover, like, 1 legal fee in the U.S.
I mean, that's like, add some zeros and you have bail for most people.
Yeah. Wow. Again, different, very different legal society. I don't know. I mean, I know that the U.S. justice system is awful, hideously cruel to people. But I guess it's the nature of the crimes that makes me think, like, that's not nearly enough.
Right. It's just like, whereas the U.S. is full tilt one way, I find that some of these Scandinavian countries are full tilt another way. And I think most people would want to try to get some middle ground here. Like, this is a guy that should not be free to walk ever again.
I guess the idea behind this is rehabilitation versus punishment, which is probably what we should be going for. But again, there is something like in your brain that is so viscerally like revulsed that you're like, fire and brimstone, right?
Yeah,
I mean, how do you rehabilitate this?
I do think that there has been a lot of research into rehabilitation of specifically of pedophiles. And that's just because it is a thing that none of us ever want to think about, that we just want to throw people into a leper colony rather than consider some of those options. And again, like, there's one part of me that's like, yes, rehabilitation is the way to go with that. Like, we have to consider all of these people as humans and do the work required to reintegrate somebody in society. Another one is like, you're a fucking sicko, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I get the whole rehabilitation thing, but it's like if you try to rehabilitate a junkie and he relapses, I mean, he puts a heroin needle in his arm. If this guy relapses, he hurts another kid. So it's just like, you know, where do you draw the line, I guess? So I don't know, man. I think 9 months isn't long enough. I don't think it should be months. I think it should be at least years, especially if any of this is true. So I don't know.
I guess I don't know enough about what else is entailed with the Swedish legal system, where they're, you know, maybe it's, you know, 9 months in a very nice room, and then from there you have, you know, regular therapy or whatever afterwards. I would think that's the case, but again, that doesn't exactly make it into, you know, blogosphere stories about this kind of thing, right?
I mean, it's not that nice. He can only play PlayStation 2.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
You know what games you had on PS2, man? You had fucking Vice City. Like, dude, you could spend 9 months with Vice City alone.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 3, too. I mean, that was the shit. That was the shit. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if there was a four-hour sniper fight. It was a great game. Fuck you. So, there's that. Is there anything else maybe a little bit more lighthearted we could move on to?
So here's something that's very lighthearted on the surface and extremely not once you get into it.
Sick, let's do that one.
I was listening to Street Fight Radio. You know, we've had Murder Brian on the show before. Mm-hmm. And they closed the show with a track that was very... It is a rap track. It was effusive. It was fun. I went and tracked it down on YouTube, and I was really, really jamming on it. This is Who I Smoke with Spinnabens, Wappa with the Choppa, Youngin Ace, and Fast Money Goon.
That's such good names.
Those are good names, yeah, really.
These are some real young dudes from Jacksonville who are blowing the fuck up right now, because when I was listening to this a few days ago, this particular track was at, I think, 800,000 views. It is over 10 million right now.
Wow.
So these guys are definitely making waves. Okay, you know, let's get right to it. The first thing you notice with this track is that they use Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles as the beat.
This is possibly best known for Terry Crews and White Chicks mimicking the song, right?
A fucking classic. I love White Chicks. I don't care what you guys think about
Canceled.
It.
Canceled, Jeff.
That movie is hilarious. And, you know, that song is so fun, and I forever associate it with, you know, Terry Crews, like, singing it passionately and not
shimmying in his car and doing the pantomiming.
So, yeah, these guys, you know, they probably, you know, watched that movie as well. They were like, that's very fun. That's very funny. You know, the track opens up with that. You have Youngin Ace, like, you know, kind of dancing and singing along to it. And you have the beat drop. And then it immediately goes into lyrics about actual rappers these guys have claimed to have murdered. and they're naming names, times, places.
Holding up evidence.
It's definitely like a Jordan Peele sketch for sure.
The video, they're fucking around on a golf course. It's very fun. It is very funny. And then the chorus in nice, like, texts on this, they're talking about, you know, it's instead of I miss you and I smoked you, like, Tiki in letters on it, who is a actual person who died, who was shot to death.
I meant Key and Peele. I'm sorry.
The level of brutal pettiness or revenge or whatever you want to call it. That's another level. Metal cannot compare to that.
Right. It's
the
just like the pure
disrespectful piece of media I've ever seen in my life.
Just as I said when we shared it, like, imagine that you've been brutally gunned down in your neighborhood, probably while you're out with your closest friends, and the light of existence just leaves your eyes forever. And so immediately what happens after that is the guys who did it get in, like, goofy white guy clothes and dance on a golf course while smoking cigars about fucking lighting you up.
To Vanessa Carlton.
Your legacy has ended with a little twinkling piano.
There is nothing I have seen from metal that matches this level of malice.
The best we have is, I was on my Ready to Kill Euronymous too.
Right.
It's total baby shit compared to this.
I don't think metal is the dangerous music, you guys. I don't think it's it.
It never has been. Well, I guess it was for like a very, and again, like, that's so long ago. And I can't, the unmitigated balls to put this out there. I have to imagine that at 10 million views and growing, this is surely circulated among every law enforcement department in the Jacksonville greater area.
It wasn't supposed to get this big.
I think it was. I think these guys definitely, they went out there and they were like, let's go ahead and make a splash with this. I think it was very good for short-term promotion, but I can't imagine this is great for a long-term career.
I'm sure Vanessa Carlton just checked out her royalties account these last few days and was quite surprised.
Vanessa Carlton reshared this.
You have to. You must.
And again, I will say it took me three listens before I realized what exactly was going on here. So I don't know if Vanessa Carlton did the same thing.
Maybe they could both perform it at the Grammys next year.
I hope so. You know, again, having been up there for just a couple of days at over 10 million views, it might happen. This again, it's likely to hit the Billboard charts. I saw Tank Crimes, that very cool punk and metal label, say the other day that if you wanted to make the top 200 last week, you had to sell, I believe it was 400 physical copies. So I think with streaming in mind that these guys are going to hit it.
With 100 sold copies. Number one.
So this is what's going on in the world outside of metal. And it is wild, bros.
It's a lot more fun, too. Like, metal, metal's just, I don't know. I guess I should just come on and say that, like, as a metal fan, you can just listen to rap, too. Like, no one's really stopping you. You can just do that. A lot of people don't consider that.
Is over. That was a very contentious thing many years ago. I think we've settled it by now, right?
I mean, what else are you going to listen to?
I mean, there are lots of things you could theoretically listen to.
Like Justin Bieber!
Like Hybrid Theory.
Hybrid Theory is demanufacture for Justin Bieber.
God damn. But yeah, this is what's happening and hip. So for you guys that, you know, feel out of the loop, well, here you go. You're cool now.
Yeah, dudes, just have some fun. I guess that's it, boys. We're just out about time. Is there anything else we want to get on real quick before we wrap the show up?
I would challenge metal bands to try to go above and beyond the effusive energy of Who I Smoke, a 1,000 Miles remix.
So what you're saying, Joe, is kill people.
Well, not just that, but you also have to talk about it in detail, include name names, and then put it on a very fun track.
I'm not saying kill people, but I'm not saying kill people.
Insanely wild stuff we're seeing. And again, like, it's tough. It's tough for metal to match that. The most excited I've been about metal in a long time is Old Nick, whose music video is a Sega Saturn rendering of skeletons dancing, which again, very good.
Prancing. Because they're bouncing around very happily. It's beyond just dancing.
Which I think is fantastic. I love it a lot. But I think at last count, that video was at like 2,000 views. And Who I Smoke is at 10 million.
I think what I'll do...
It's your fault, Joe, because you're trying to support the Z-list bands and, you know, you're just a PC SJW LMNOP.
I think what I'm going to do to just reach across the table here, just extend the olive branch to rap fans and metal fans alike, is I'm going to play Who I Smoke at the end of the show, and then I'm going to play that old Nick song with the prancing skeletons. So set me up.
And then a mashup of both.
I could, you know what? Let me see if I can do some editing magic and figure that out. But if not, then you'll just get one back to back. That's probably what you're getting.
I don't know if our listeners will like it, but I know I will.
Yeah, like I mean, hey, matters. I have I ever once done anything for the benefit of the listeners? Let's be real here.
We're 302 deep now. Why start now?
All right, guys, I think that's it for me. You know, keep it metal, keep it safe. Get yourself that vaccine, and otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Don't kill your enemies and make a video about
it. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Or if you do, make it really entertaining.
Yeah.
All right, later.
And I miss you. And now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time went past me by? 'Cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see you.
Joe, Tom, what you cooking?
Hey, when I see you, I'ma push your shit back, boy. Top will get to spitting through your set. We don't fight, boy. 12 paramedics couldn't save your fucking life, boy. Rod can't dead and he never coming back, boy. We gon' treat this bitch like a match, how we strike. Left his ass in the street, this the end of your life, boy. Last thing your ass see a flashlight and it's max. Bro, these niggas soft as hell, all these niggas, they just act hard. I'ma shoot this bitch when I motherfucking see you. I don't go nowhere without my motherfucking heat, cool. Smoking on Lil Peter, I was smoking Trey D2. Free my nigga Max till they motherfucking free you. Knock a nigga out, boy, you can get your ass beat too. Lil' hoe, you trippin', baby girl, I don't need you. You could walk 1,000 miles and I still don't wanna see you. I got the whole city scared, these niggas know what we do.
Who I smoke, baby, who I smoke, Dinky, who I smoke, Lil' Nine. And now I wonder, what a offset, got a low, I told her drop that. FNSP, one in the head, ain't got the kite back. No, I'm smoking gin and one thing, they just can't get them back. And it's back, back to back, on the block with double back. My killer make his face go, that's one thing about queso. I spit a game, but you know that shit a case closed. One of them dead bosses said, all I do is say go. Drop a op, drop a thot, any minute my emo. I told a rocket when I travel, I'm pistol packing a human. I was lurking on his page and I caught him lacking a human. We let out shots, he got shot and went live. I'm went thinking live. Like, fuck, man, that bitch ain't died. When they diss on 2 times, we gon' spend a few times. Like 2-3 for 2-3, let all rhyme till you die. Jump out that shit with sweet till we find out the drop. Find out where that boy working, then boy caught the mind.
Who I smoke, baby, who I smoke, Dinky, who I smoke, Lil' Nine. And now I wonder.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.